What's up, nostalgia hunters? Welcome to another episode of Is It Cool or Just Nostalgia?
Ooh,
the pause. The dramatic pause.
Dramatic.
We're going to talk about instant cameras. This is the one that's closest to me, so I grabbed it. But
could we have others over here and over here?
No. This is the only one. That's why I grabbed it.
Instant camera? What is that? How would an old people... How do old people call that?
You know how you can, when you press a button and you automatically have the picture? Yeah.
Like, what is that?
On your cell phone?
What's that called?
Yes.
A Polaroid.
A Polaroid?
Mm-hmm.
That's a brand.
Exactly. Like
it
Xerox.
Is a brand, but it's also like a Kleenex and stuff like that.
Where everybody a tissue that is not a Kleenex.
Knows. And I'm specifically talking to the old heads out there. Anyway, we're interrupting.
Well, guys, you've already met one Mike, one of the mics.
Some of us have been drinking, so.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Who've been, knee deep in cocktails. Mr. Douche is...
not Mr. Douche.
Wait, it's not pronounced that?
No. Oh my God. Don't even.
I thought it was pronounced that way.
He was pronouncing it the French way, right?
Yeah.
Mr. Douche.
The Douche.
All right. I'm
Mr.
regretting.
Douche.
I'm regretting my nickname.
So, that was Mike the Deuce. Who, after a couple of beers, becomes Mr. Douche.
And also kind of took a douche in the corner not too long ago.
Yeah. There was a reason for that name.
I've had one beer, and now I'm drinking a Sprite. Thank you.
Anyway.
I don't even know if that's in a reference to. I'm like, okay.
There's no segue from that. But to say, we're talking about instant cameras. I wanted to actually initially just talk about film cameras, because they're making a huge comeback. People are finding old cameras, finding negatives, and then actually going out taking pictures with that. And you're seeing more, obviously not back to when there was like photo shacks and other things where you go to develop your negatives, but a lot is coming back. But I felt that was still niche. What is more popular though, almost every, a lot of wedding, I'm not going to say every wedding, but a lot of weddings you go to, a lot of events, a lot of graduation parties, you see one of these instant cameras, which is, you know, you take a picture and it prints out the image right then and there. Well, you're exposing photosensitive camera. There's nothing really printing, but you get something tangible in that moment right there.
As opposed to us that are old enough to remember turning in your film at a place to get it developed, and I'm not talking about when 1 hour photo has existed. You turn it in and you come back in a week to get your photos.
Oh yeah.
Some of us developed our own film.
Do that.
Wow.
Oh, we'll get into that a little bit. I'll give you a little
I dropped
history.
My stuff off at Osco Drug. I don't know if that place exists anymore.
I don't think so.
I think this is pretty big now and it's only getting bigger.
I actually have a picture of my wife and I from a wedding, recent from a couple of years ago, in my wallet. That's from one of those cameras.
Really fun. I realized that there's different stock you can get, the paper. I think what's in here is like beach or sunset or something. That's what it's called. So the tone of the colors you get, I have one that's called monochrome, which is black and white. So you can't do much in the box, usually, other than, am I looking at the right people? That's it. And it's usually an infinity of like focus mode, so everything's in focus that's a minimum distance away.
Mm.
Terrible under dark conditions, so you are going to get flashed in your face. By default, flash is on, always.
Yeah, Mike learned that earlier today.
And it adds to the nostalgia.
Yeah, I got blinded.
It adds to the nostalgia of the picture looks blown out and you look white as a devil because the flash just smashed your face.
Right. I feel like every time I've seen a Polaroid or instant camera, it's flashing around everywhere.
Does it have the recharge noise?
Oh, yeah.
No, it makes a cool noise, though, as it spits the paper out of the... Yeah. So Polaroid did make it to cover some history. There's, again, drama, lawsuits, and all kinds of stuff. Because Polaroid invented this. Edwin Land. And it would be called, I think, the Land Camera is what they called it when Polaroid put it out. His name is Edwin Land. They had one model called the Swinger. Because it would be tied to your hand, and you'd be swinging in it. And they would say, swing up your Polaroid and take a picture. And it was the old giant Polaroid with the bottom base and then like the protrusion of like
the Swinger. Pyramid.
It's called the Swinger.
Okay, I thought you said the Swinder, and I'm like, is it Swedish?
No,
or like,
no,
is this
no.
from IKEA?
The Swindler, because you steal
the Swindler. Here. Yeah, it's gonna steal your souls.
Yeah,
we know.
Turtle didn't approve.
Turtle did not approve the joke. So
sorry, she likes fingers more.
Yeah,
but so this. You might think it's how old this is. I think 1948, 49 is one of the first when the Polaroid came out. It's that old, the instant pictures. And they had the, I think the old ones, really old ones, if you take a picture.
Had a hold of the one goes,
and you had to like peel a paper off.
Oh, yeah.
And,
oh, wow.
Get the image. And then in the 70s. Is when they really hit it off, when that whole peel thing was gone and what it spit out would just slowly develop.
Yeah. So I did have one of those.
What was the inception of it, though? Like, why did they think that this
people
was something
to take
that
pictures?
Needed
so the story is, at this level, is this legend or myth? You don't know. The story is Edwin Land's daughter, when they took a picture of her, she was like, hey, why can't I just, I want to see it right now. And he was like, no. You can't, and all that. And that's the story of, like, he went, and so he was already a brilliant scientist at Polaroid, working on polarizing film and other things that they were making then. That's why they were called Polaroid. And they had nothing really too much to do with photography. And he was like, hey, what if I could make a paper that I could expose? So his thinking was, we don't need negatives. What if the negative itself is the final picture? How do I make... And he took, I think, 3 or 4 years he worked on it. And then he finally came up with, okay, this is a photochemical paper that you expose, and it's not in the negative of what it saw. Instead, it's directly, because it's mostly just chemical process, that they have to work a lot on this. And then I think 30 years later, they had the next generation of it where they didn't have that peel-off paper on it. Instead, it's just you expose it, the picture's ready. And he was very visionary in that he took out there's an old documentary you can see of him, and he takes like a little notebook out from his pocket, and he's like, I want my camera to be this, like the small little notebook that you can carry in your pocket, very smartphone like mm-hmm. vision. And that's why their most popular one is that looks like a giant BCR tape that where just opens,
pop
pops
it
up.
And the little screen goes...
Yeah, because he wanted it like everyone should have one on you always. Like one, that was his vision, which was really, you can see that just played out long term.
Look how that worked out for phones.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the guy wasn't wrong.
Well, the exact one he's talking about is the one that I had. I mean, it was obviously one of the later models, but that's what I had. Is like you literally unfolded it, and I don't know if it folded in like that or folded down or what, but like this mm-hmm. front screen with the lens popped out and was like at the other end of the triangle.
How did you?
And
usually...
it had this little like plastic like
I always thought those
thing that you
so
pull
cool.
on this side, which would take the photo, and then it just slid out the front. Yep. And I've never actually watched it in slow motion, but you mentioned like the whole paper thing is not anymore. It would come out like black, and all of a sudden it's like, it snaps, and all of a sudden the white borders around it, and I never really understood like how that happened.
How'd you usually carry it around?
I didn't carry it around. I didn't.
You had your butler carry it around for you.
I had it for reasons that are probably not what the inventor wanted.
What kind of reasons were these sensitive
pictures?
Yeah,
this was prior to people having phones.
Uh huh. Uh huh.
To where certain images could be sent to you by certain ladies.
Dude, you made it sound worse than
yeah. Wow,
you what were certain ladies?
What we're saying is Jeffrey invented Snapchat.
Yeah. It's what we're saying.
It was Snapchat before Snapchat.
Granted, like now, I would say, like, never ever send those kind of images to anybody, regardless of your gender. Just don't fucking do that. But if you're gonna do that, do a Polaroid, because then it's not on the internet.
Wait a second, Jeffrey.
Long Polaroids.
Wait. Somewhere in the Jeffrey, world. Were you?
I do not have any of them anymore.
Wait,
no.
Were you also sending?
No.
Back?
Nope. No.
You never thought, hey, I would look good in the
photo. I was the cameraman. They were the performing model.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So is that why you specifically
It was really she. It was my girlfriend at the time.
Is that why you specifically used a Polaroid? So that, like, you could show them?
That's literally the whole reason. She was there when we bought the fucking camera. That was the whole point of owning it.
It was instant, and you didn't have to take it to Osco Drug.
Oh, that's okay. Now I get it.
Yeah. Now I get it. That's how you have photos like that without everyone at the photo place also having them.
I'm not going to diss you for that. That's, no, you were trying to be discreet.
No, this is. I didn't even think of that in that way. I was like, oh, in this digital age, tangible things, things that are physical, and I didn't even think, like, well, if I'm taking pictures and I don't want anyone else to develop it for me.
I was in my late teens, early 20s when I had, I don't remember if it was Polaroid or Kodak, whatever, one of those cameras. So, yes.
So, on
nice
that
little
note,
diversion.
On that note, Polaroid or Kodak. So Kodak in 1976 comes out with their own because they're like, there's this one company making this shit. We should get in on this. And instantly, Polaroid sues them. Of like, how?
So they have a patent?
Yeah. Obviously, they had a crazy good patent on it. And this fight went on. But what it did was help it just made so much news that even more people bought it. It helped both the companies.
Oh, this is like the Streisand effect, basically.
Yeah, exactly. So everyone just was like, oh, let's go buy this. And so it became even more in pop culture. So people went and bought both Kodak and Polaroid, and like both were making a lot more money. And in 10 years later, Polaroid won.
Mm.
Kodak literally stopped making. Like, people who bought Kodaks would not get film anymore to shoot, because usually that's where they had the early subscription model.
They had to make their money.
Buy the paper. Probably Polaroid I had then. Yeah. Because, like, this would have been like early 2000s.
Yeah. So there's no more. The Kodak was gone by then. So how did Fuji come into this? Is Kodak wanted some Fuji technology because Fuji was making video cassettes and all that stuff. And Kodak was like, we'll let you make instant camera, which is, they're already in a lawsuit, and they're like, no, we'll give you our patents, you make it, but in return, can you give me some of your technology that we can make cassettes and stuff? So as the lawsuit went down, Polaroid agreed, okay, we're not gonna sue you, but you can't sell in America. And Fuji was like, okay, I think it was Fuji Photorama or whatever their name was. And they were like, okay, we're going to buy it and we're going to make it and sell it only in Japan. And the difference was also Kodak tried to, how they sneak it was like, Polaroid, the picture would be exposed on the back and like come out this way. And then Kodak was like, well, ours is exposed on the front. And which was like, so they had some... It was a long battle, and in the end, Polaroid sued them for like $12 billion back in the day.
Jeez, that's
because their revenue was like $1 billion because they were the sole makers of it. And then Kodak in the end paid them like $900 million or something. So it wasn't as much as they wanted. So Fuji got in that middle weird period, and they said, okay, but you can't come here. They had a weird agreement. And then Fuji kept making them. They were selling okay. Polaroid goes out of business by 2007, 2008. Fuji by then had already developed their own ways of... There was no more patent problem because they had developed very independent ways that they could come to America because they had used different technology now to expose. And they were thinking, should we be in this? Like, it's all dying. And you won't believe this, what saved it. It was Korean telenovelas. Yeah, there were these Asian Korean TV shows the you know, the whole soap opera stuff.
Yeah.
And instant camera was a big part of it.
It just, like, was a part of the story.
First of it didn't even have a Fuji. Yeah, it was part of the story. And then the next one that came out, I forgot the name of these things, it literally had a Fuji one in it. And people just went out and bought a whole buttload of those because they saw that. And they started selling a lot. And they came up with the Instax lineup that they were the... Just by the matter of, like, no one else is making this. Now, if you want it, there's only one company making it. So everyone, when the slow spread of this being cool again came out, all just rushed to Fujifilm. And these guys sell, I think it's the entire camera industry sells like 9 million. And Fuji Instax sells like 3 to 4 million a year. Like, imagine everyone else. Every other camera, it's they sell like nine.
Canon, Nikon, Sony, all the.
That's
the
how popular these became, and that's their, like, the history was like Polaroid made it. They died out, and somehow Fuji just survived enough long enough that they went top again.
So, how much does something like that nowadays
this
cost?
This would be $100,
and that's why there's so many of them. Okay. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
But what about the actual cartridge with all the printed
paper? So in there you put, so you'll get these boxes, which are cartridges, which will have 10 picks in there. I think this was $13, $14, so $1.30.
So over a dollar a photo.
Yeah, over a dollar a photo. So this is where they make their money. It's only 10 pictures and it goes, because this is fun and it takes a few to get it right. So you just keep taking it, and it's not, it's better for them than like a photo reel with negative, because it's like, you don't know how good that picture was. You zoom and it goes on. But this is like, you take it, you look at it and you're like, oh, that's out of focus.
Or, and you can adjust. Right.
And you're like, adjust, yeah, and take more. And it's just ka-ching, ka-ching for each picture, literally.
I mean, that being said, though, if you want any of, like, your digital photos printed nowadays, like, yeah, you can get some cheapo ones. But, like, if you want, like, a fancy photo book or something like that, you still have to shell out some cash, right? So,
well, that's assuming you don't print it yourself. I mean, nowadays, print.
Who has quality. An inkjet printer?
But I'm saying...
I have a photo.
These people.
I have
a photo quality printers aren't really that expensive anymore.
No, not cheap per se. But like these, they make all their money off the ink.
Yeah. So, unlike a photojet printer. Yeah. I have actually a really nice printer with like 9 or 10 different inks in it. Like, it's crazy and it's really good. And they did the same with printers. That they give it free with the digital camera. For a while, they just give printers away like that because they knew they were going to come back for the ink cartridges.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you just print it part? There is nostalgia of not just the physical, but also how it looks. And
there is a unique look to
the color, and how it is, and how it's not perfect, and the lighting is. If you take it in the shade, the low lights just disappear. It's all black, and the highlights. If there's a window behind you, you cannot make out what's out there. It's just one white box. It just blows out, and people love it. People love the low quality nature of it because it's nostalgic. Your smartphone camera became too good. So printing, that's what I brought
it's,
this one
it's
here.
An aesthetic like anything else. It's,
yeah,
this is a Canon Ivy. It prints using a different technology called Zinc, which is zero ink. They have their own paper that they sell for it, but the paper's much cheaper.
See, that's a lot thinner,
doesn't have all the weird chemicals and everything that's
like
needed.
Good picture.
So if you look at the picture that this takes,
that's actually pretty good,
mm-hmm,
for like quality.
And this one feels like you're holding like a packet of chemicals inside of it because that's how it makes it work.
How does a zero ink work?
A lot of noise. I'm going to hold it to my mic.
Okay.
So zero ink, I don't know the technology for it.
Like, it literally uses ink, zero so. Ink? Like, is that the...
I think it is...
It uses zinc.
So this exposes the paper to the exact image lights at, like, a small strip of light as it pushes it out. And so it's like a laser inker, laser printery kind of thing, but the paper has some qualities.
I was literally going to say, like earlier, just thinking about the technology behind it, is like, how would you make something like a Polaroid better? It'd be like, you have a digital viewfinder, you take the picture, and then you essentially just have like a printer on the inside that exposes it with that better picture on the inside for a little longer and still kicks it out. And I'm like, and then you literally just brought that with whatever the zero ink thing is. I'm like,
oh, so the little so like extra sense. Printer thing mm-hmm. that you have there, does that specifically work with the camera you have, or is
no.
that like hook up to anything? Like you can like have your phone, printed a your picture. Phone pictures. Can you just like send is. It to that and print it?
Yeah, this connects to my phone, and you go to your photo library and you pick one, and this will just print it out wirelessly, and it has a battery, so mm-hmm. just you can take it with you. So
do they
this
make bigger ones?
Then just go buy a printer, I guess.
I mean, because really,
who has a printer that prints
like a photo? You like just, a 4x6 or something like that.
Is there
like
any today? Reason why you couldn't hook that up to your Canon camera, your Nikon, something like that at a party?
No.
And just like psh, like that, and it kicks it out.
So
this feels nostalgic as hell.
That looks
look
like
that. That
looked like
that thing. Look this, at the colors. In
this
there.
Looked like this was taken in the '80s, uh-huh. pretty much. Like this is.
Let's go
this
stand
looks like
by the game consoles, the little cabinets there. We're gonna look like we're. In the
80s, yeah,
100%. I don't know if it'll focus on it or not.
We'll find out. But tell us in the comments if it focuses.
Did you see the photo?
But you can keep it. You can take any pictures you want. I actually bought more pictures with it.
So you can take any photos you want. Then I just yeah, like, yeah. Have the disposable cameras at weddings. Like, people are like,
so who? Yeah, who wants to take a picture of their dong first?
We all know what Jeffrey wants.
Yeah,
to do
yeah. I have never been on a camera like that ever.
No, a camera like that. He had to no, specify.
I've never had a picture
that specific
like
camera.
That
his dong camera. Has never been shown to.
No, you know? I was thinking he wanted to take some pictures of certain ladies.
Mm-hmm. There's only one lady now.
Yeah,
there's only one lady now. So. And I don't need photos of her. We live together, so.
But yeah, the entire look at that. You'd have to edit a bunch on your phone to make it look like that.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's impossible pretty much.
And there's like just the element of we didn't edit anything. That's
you can't
just
do
the
a
natural
sepia
nature
filter.
Of it.
Just yeah. just go to what is it, Dolly, and ask her to edit this exactly like it was taken with a Polaroid or an Instax.
Yeah. So look at the Z Ink one.
Well, it's funny you talk about that because like I feel like that is so cool because it's nostalgic. Like you get yeah. what I'm saying here? It's like you look at it and you're like, oh, I remember when we took that
I don't
photo.
Think,
and
yeah, well, that's actually going to be part of my when we go around. I actually have something to say on that.
Okay.
Yeah. The bigger, deeper questions are like, are we, I feel like you will see this more than the library of pictures on your phone. Like this makes it more visible to you in your physical world.
Oh yeah. Yeah. When it's there sitting out in your house
and you're
whatever,
taking
yeah.
500 pictures.
Like I said, I got that one picture of my wall.
You
of
actually
my wall
keep it. Cause I would ask, like, I'm not yeah. saying no, he does, but how many people actually print photos anymore and have photo albums? I would say probably not a lot, yeah. But at the same time, to your point, like with something like this, there's a limited number of photos and then you're, you know, out of the paper. So each photo almost kind of becomes more important, I guess, because with your phone, you're just snap, snap. I mean, like the people that take 100 photos to try to get one that looks good so they can post it to Instagram or something like that. And then all these photos that you have on your phone that you never go back and look at.
Yeah, well, and that's like why this is so powerful, because you instantly get that printout and then you have to do something with it.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like I took a bunch of, well, I would never do that.
You accept
paid
more than a dollar for it.
I didn't pay for that.
Okay, I don't want to say the price adds to the experience or some bullshit like that. It sounds like an Apple commercial, but Yeah, for me, if we just want to, there's one thing I wanted to say is, you know, what they've started doing, because people started creating, 3D printing and creating this part themselves, so that they will put, you can put Instax cam paper into it, it'll work. Oh. And then they would, in the front, attach like an old Miyama or my, like old Canons, like literally look from the top, kind of old picture-y ones, so that you can actually put a real camera in the front of it, and you can buy the back for it, and you put an instant back.
Oh, with like all the lenses and stuff like that? Yeah.
So the lens would focus onto this thing, and you'll have a real camera in the front. And those are like very expensive, but those kind of projects have come out where you can do a lot more.
Get a little higher quality photo. Yeah. You still get the aesthetic and the look of the paper and stuff, but you get a little higher quality.
Yeah. So you said that these are getting more popular. Is there a certain part of the world where it's getting more popular, or is it everywhere?
It's everywhere now.
Because like, I feel like I personally don't see them very often.
I saw them a lot. My niece, actually, Gabrielle, she wanted one. Just even a few years ago, I think it was actually something that was really big for a lot of younger people to just have one, because they're just kind of fun to have and just like have it like
parties, graduations, things like that. Is it the younger generation that's kind of looking into them? Okay.
I think people our generation are buying actual film cameras, the old ones.
The old disposables? And
they're getting into the film part of it and getting that develop and all that. The younger generation are more into instant ones, because I think it might be weird, I won't say everyone, but it's usually they'll take a picture of that and then post it on their Instagram.
Oh, right.
Well, but like, I mean, here's what I made.
Here's the big thing that like,
I made it.
I'm going to say this statement and explain what I mean. That's real.
Yeah.
And what I mean is not because it's tangible. That's part of it. But that's real, because in today's day and age, like, any picture you're seeing isn't really real anymore. Because like I was saying a minute ago, people will take and pose for a photo and snap, 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 snap until they find one that looks good. And then they go and they'll use the different filters, and then they'll use different apps to make their face look better. Or like all the people that put like makeup and stuff on their face to make their face like look better and more angular. And then that's what they post. You don't get that with this. This goes back to what we used to say is a candid photo. There is no necessary, I mean, you guys kind of like pose for his camera. Yeah. But there's no, oh, let's redo this, redo this, because, you know, obviously that's going to cost a lot of money. But then you also aren't going through and using filters and apps and everything to make everything look better. This is what you would use to get a real candid photo.
It's kind of like a counterculture.
Yeah.
It's like, down with the AI, down with the filters. Real. Let's print out photos now.
Well, because think about it. When you look at a photo like that, you're going to actually have memories tied to that moment. Whereas with all the photos you take on your phone nowadays, where you're posing for everything, yeah, you're going to remember taking the photo, but you won't necessarily have the same memory from it because it was posed and edited and altered. Whereas that was just a moment in time.
Yeah. I can see that. I can buy
it. I totally see that. I'm also, anything that makes you not use your phone, the problem is it's an amazing photo machine. Your phone has amazing cameras and will any day take a better picture than that. But opening the phone now means you're opening a portal into a million things that can just take you sideways in many ways. And if you instead use this, I think you're more in that
dedicating
moment.
Your time to taking a photo.
Yeah,
that's true. You minimize the distractions that way. Yeah,
and you get a very specific look.
And the look is very based on
nostalgia.
No, it's the chemical nature of that paper, and so it's not been filtered. It's not it's happening, but it's all very physically happening. Because your green looks absolutely different in that.
Mm-hmm.
And the blues are more prominent. There's the reds are washed out. And like there's, and that's like, that might be an Instagram filter for some, but this is how, like, this is real.
How it actually
physics
does it.
Of it.
Yep.
And of how it just became that image, right? So I feel like that's really, really cool. And And this, obviously, the Z-Ink one is just a piece of paper. Like, it doesn't have the weight. Like, you don't, like, oh, there's not a packet of chemicals in here that made it do that. This, you can tell, like, oh, it's filled with stuff that exposed to light makes it look this way. So I always feel like this is a little more nicer.
I am curious if that film allows you to draw on it as it's developing.
Oh, like with the old ones?
I asked that because I do have a background in photography. Uh-huh. And one of my projects in college in one of my photography classes was that I took pictures of stuff with a Polaroid camera. And then the film, like the emulsion or whatever, is very soft. So as it's developing, you can draw on it. And so I made some really, really crazy pictures of things I took a picture of, but then I would draw over it. And I actually ended up getting a couple of those pieces. I actually went to like the Topeka Museum for a while to be shown and whatnot. Wow. So I actually had some street cred with that.
What happened? Yeah. How does it look when you draw?
Actually, I have some upstairs I can show you later, mm-hmm. But it looks kind of crazy. You basically think of like all the colors and stuff like that just kind of getting messed up. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of almost like a rainbow sort of effect, but you can still tell what everything is. And like I said, I don't have the ones that went to the museum. They actually end up keeping those, but I have all the other ones and I'll show you that. And I'm actually curious, you take another one of those and take that pin.
Oh yeah, let's
do it.
They got a lot of pictures for it.
And you just start drawing on it.
Well, you got like what, six
like
left?
Scraping on it?
Take a picture of his face and then try to put horns on it or draw through his beard or something fun like that.
But like not with the ink.
Not just with the ink. Just don't put out the ballpoint. But like here, you go ahead and do it.
So
what you do is you wait for it to start developing just a little bit and you see his face, right? And then
that's
you funny. Can
we
start.
We always do that, but I've heard that doesn't actually do any method.
It's like blowing in a cartridge, probably.
I think back in the day that was done to add more air to dry it out.
I have no idea if that was ever a thing, but yes, I've always done that because I've seen people do that.
Go. Put some horns on him.
Why is everyone trying to make me the devil?
Well, aren't you?
No comments. People say
that. If the shoe fits, you know, just saying.
I don't think it's doing anything.
Okay, and it might not, because that was very specific to the type of Polaroid film I was using. It allowed for that when I was developing it, and it was cool. It was very, very cool. So I was just curious if it allowed for that.
The mic was on my chest for a second. I was like, what the hell is that?
It looks... In these pictures, if you have any new technology stuff in your hand, it looks so out of place. If you look at it and you go,
we're
80s.
Time travelers.
Right?
It's like a portal to the past.
Maybe I need to draw it sooner.
No. You can, like, it should be soft the whole time. I think it's probably just different technology as all.
Different technology.
Yeah. Get some, like, new old stock of Polaroid film, get a Polaroid camera, and go to town. It is actually a fun thing to do.
Don't put in mouth.
I
definitely don't do that.
When he handed
me that one earlier, the first thing I wanted to do was put it in my mouth. Don't know why. So I'm glad they have those little warnings on there. It's just like licking a Switch cartridge, man. Just gotta lick that thing.
Well, I mean, unless there is more to go and like we can jump into voting and stuff.
Yep, let's do it.
Let's go.
So this one's actually kind of hard for me. Because it's definitely a nostalgic thing. And it definitely can't keep up with the technology of what we have with cameras, even in our phones, let alone an actual camera. But when you weigh what the item is against everything else I was saying, with it creating a real moment in time that has not been altered and made to look prettier for likes on some social media... It's just like, hey, look, this was happening. This is a real thing. And I've got, like, you know, something tangible from it. It can be, you know, hung on a fridge or some kind of pegboard or something like that. I don't know, whatever you're going to do with them. But it's not also going to be, unless you throw it away, it's not going to be one of 1,000 photos on your camera or on your phone that you almost never go back and look at. They're just there. So... Getting away from maybe just saying, oh, is that thing cool? But what that represents and what comes along with using it. Because if I was weighing just that, I'd probably say it's nostalgia. It's kind of silly. But the emotional stuff that can come with having a real photo, a moment in time, that part of it, I think, makes it cool.
What do you think? If you take that picture home, you hand it to your wife, will she keep it?
I have no idea.
I would say yeah.
I'm saying like maybe.
The chances of her keeping that.
We do keep like random little things and stuff like that. But yeah, she would see this more than she would, you know, any photo I sent her in a text.
From the Disney trip or anything. Wait, what kind of photos are you sending via text?
It's usually like reels that we think are funny or gifts and stuff like that.
So. Yeah, okay, sure.
When I said earlier about don't send that stuff to and from people, I meant it. I don't even send that kind of stuff to my spouse, and she doesn't send it to me either. Because that means it's out in the world where stuff could be seen. No.
Okay.
All right, who wants to go next?
I'll go next.
Yeah,
so I'm kind of conflicted about this too, because like, it's obviously a nostalgia machine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, Andy talking about how, number one, they're selling like hotcakes. Number two, they're getting more and more popular, especially with the younger generation, which apparently is what's cool nowadays.
You remember back in the 1900s when people did this?
And, you know,
most remember like, oh, hell no, this looked terrible. But
and you have the whole, like, it's almost like a counterculture movement. Like I was talking earlier about being against the whole modifying your photo via filters, via AI, getting 15 shots of the same thing. It's like people rejecting that and saying, no, that's not real. This is real. And I think that is a really strong argument. So it's like, what do you say whenever you have a nostalgia machine that is cool? That's basically my opinion. But I guess I will go with cool on this one.
Yeah, okay. So it's the return of the candid photo.
Yeah. I'll go next, and I fully agree, because the how easy it is to take 25 pictures of the same moment. I feel like in that, you're no longer capturing that moment anymore, because you take it and you're like, you close your eyes, you did this, you did that. And people are like, let me point my chin up and like do this so that it doesn't.
It's my leg tummy. Back and flex so my rear sticks out.
Ugly thing. Like, you know, like everything is going to be, have to look. It's the nature of the world right now, because everyone looks at Instagram and you always think that's how they look. It's like, no.
No.
They prep really hard to look like that. And here,
not to mention
it's
all
like
the apps that.
This, you can't even go like, you know, you can't just pull it like a trigger.
Can't be a
like,
paparazzi.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like take one and then it's like me and it's like slowly pops it out. So it is truly capturing that moment. And I think, because I look back as a kid, and we don't have those as many anymore. Like, there were so many pictures, I just had my eyes closed, it's half closed. Not everyone's perfect in the picture. Someone's like with their hand in their hair like
terrible.
This. Yeah. And then you look at them now, I get a different feeling from everyone looking perfect in this picture. And then you, after that, you even do five more sliders to like get this arranged. And oh, that face is a little dark, let me make it bright. And like you do
color
all those
correction.
Things. Yeah. And I feel like this truly captures the moment. And whatever the best you could do in that moment, you did. And then it's gone. So
it's not gone. It's on film.
It's on film. Yeah. Yeah. It stole your soul.
It stole your soul.
So the nostalgia factor, obviously the images look like they were taken a while ago. And you just get that pang of like, oh, early 90s. It's like, you know, no matter how homes look or, you know, that's why having like a digital, like a phone or an iPad in the picture just looks so out of place. And it's just now when I took you guys' pictures, it's like, oh, this is from the 80s or early 90s.
when everyone had like the giant flash that blasted everyone. So I'm fully in the same boat you said, but I think it's absolutely, absolutely cool in that it feels really cool that there's like a mechanical part that rolls the picture out, the paper out. I just love that there's some machine and mechanics involved instead of you click. And then that's what I found. It's like when I have a nice picture, I have an actual Fuji camera, a digital camera, like a new one with lenses and everything. And a lot of my pictures never get out of that camera. They just live there. Because I don't have the time to go
find the one that looks best.
I don't have time to go plug that in, and there's like some editing has to be done because it's a raw picture from the camera. And then I'm like, so who am I? I don't even post much on social media, so I don't go by look at them. And so for me, this is way better.
The limitation is freeing.
Yes, exactly. It's like making an old video game on old hardware to feel free again. You know, like certain games like that.
Like Vengeance
Hunters.
I've heard of that game.
Like people who can design games for like a console like the Neo Geo, like Vengeance Hunters, they're just talented. They truly are.
That's right.
Just ignore the cabinets.
I think what you're, at least what I'm hearing and I'm feeling is like what you are actually being freeing from is being freed from perfection.
Yeah,
because nowadays everyone's trying to make their photo perfect so they can get enough likes. You don't have that here. It's just this is a candid photo moment in time. You don't have to be perfect.
It is what it is. All right.
All right. So my perspective is actually I got everything to agree with you, but I've got some street cred to I used to be a photographer. That's what I was going to school for. Actually national award winning photographer. So a little flex there. And I also made that project that I mentioned with the Polaroid stuff, which has actually turned out really cool. And the reason why I think this, I'm just going to go up flat out and say is like, this stuff's still cool. It's because it is an aesthetic. It is something that reaches into the past, but is easily accessible right now. Is absolutely cool right now. It is very big with younger people. It is very fun. I mean, I've had fun with these at weddings and other stuff like that in recent years. They're awesome. Marcy and I, we had something like that going on because it's just fun. It will always be fun. And I think that was forgotten for a little while because we're chasing perfection. Mm-hmm. Like there was all the digital cameras, your phones, like the digital cameras, the phones, everything like that. We're chasing perfection. And we finally hit it. We have basically hit perfection. There is no more last mile even to achieve with that perfection. There's no more pixels you can get, nothing. So what do you do from there once you have perfection? You want a different aesthetic. You want a different look. You want a different feeling. You want a different frame. You want a different, like you don't want perfection sometimes because it'll be more interesting than the perfection that you get from your pocket every single time. So I absolutely think these are cool because it gives you something that you don't even have to work. You don't even have to bring up your AI filter on your phone to try to make it look like, you know, a Polaroid or a Kodak or an Instax or whatever from the past. You just literally just have it right then and there. You don't have to work for it. It's just fun. So I think it's absolutely cool. Definitely not nostalgic. I mean, it is nostalgic. I mean, you're right. It is a nostalgia machine, but that's the aesthetic. And a lot of people are going for that. And it's not just old people. In fact, it's usually not old people. It's younger people who want that same look because they see all those old pictures. And like, I kind of want in on that. And it is kind
of
fun.
Yeah. Part of the reason it's cool is because nostalgic.
And then like, you know, vinyl records making a comeback. Well, film is now, because we had that perfection. Film for cameras coming back. Speaking of that, Fuji, my boys, bring back Fuji Velvia film, please. That was the best stuff ever. I don't know. Actually, it might even exist right now. I haven't looked at it. But that stuff was amazing. That was my friend back in the day. So
I think
just throwing that out there.
Chrome. I don't know if they have Velvia. They have Eterna a lot out in the stores. It's what's funny is in my digital Fuji big boy camera, they have film simulations that have all these names. That's how I know those names.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because they will shoot, and they're famous for it. It's because when you shoot with those, again, they're trying to achieve a bit of this where it's like, oh, you shoot in a straight JPEG. It's not some raw file that you can just straight upload and use. And so they're like, it is almost as if it's a film. You just get to pick the film.
Right.
I love it. This is one of my
favorite things is having a topic like this where the medium of the picture is almost as important as the actual picture that's taken. So, and also, an excuse to buy a lot of film too. I'm like, hey, I need to buy some shit for this. So I went. First, I was worried it's out of batteries and it uses these weird.
Oh, yeah, those little guys.
Those little guys. And like you can get monochrome ones. So you can get, so the paper decides what kind of tone you're going to get out of the picture. I think the one we used was like sunset in the beach or something like that. So it has.
Which is perfect for a basement.
Exactly. Yeah.
Great. Just the
not the vibe.
It's the light.
Yeah.
Just the light of a setting sun. But there you have it, guys. This was a fun one where I wanted to take pictures of my friends and I used this as an excuse to throw this as a topic. We all think it's cool. Mike, you look like you wanted to say something.
No, I was just gonna say, once again, we all freaking agreed. Like what's going on? We need some more.
The Nintendo 64 sucks and instant film is awesome. Oh man. That's what we all
agree.
Mike
and I were drinking. Mike and I were drinking, so it made everyone agree. Yeah, I don't know.
That there we go. We need to just do that every time.
Yeah. Maybe that's why we're all doing this podcast together. Some shit. It's okay, we'll bring up some controversial stuff soon.
I'm sure it'll come
Coke
back.
Zero is the next top. Next top.
Aspartame.
Is it good as Coke? No.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in. This was a fun topic. We'll see you guys soon. Again. Bye.
Bye.
Take care.